Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Samach Zayin. We begin 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Back to our discussion regarding water insects, water creatures, which typically require kosher signs, snapir, vikas keses, fins and scales, to be regarded as kosher. However, as we learned yesterday, this requirement pertains only to fish, to insects, to creatures which developed in certain types of bodies of water, such as yamim and nechalim, as the Torah specifies, seas, streams, rivers. However, if you should discover a creature that grew, it wasn't imported from the outside, it developed within a bayr, for instance, a cistern, an in-ground, you know, pool, which is not flowing, which is not connected to the, you know, the global, you know, ecosystem. It's a self-contained body of still water. And certainly if it's in a kli, in a container, sitting in your fridge, if something developed in there, that creature need not have kosher signs to be mutter. So you can drink straight out of the cup, straight out of the pitcher, provided it wasn't imported from the outside. It developed in there. I mean, obviously nothing grows out of, there were some eggs deposited, but the actual live creature happened inside that body of water, inside that container, inside that pit, and never left. So if you drink straight out of there, it's okay. Says the Gemara on the 10th line from the bottom. Omar Afuna. So this is with the premise that the water insect developed in this habitat, in this environment, is permissible. Still, one should be careful that it doesn't leave the habitat before you consume it. Amar Huna, like lishvi inish, a person shouldn't pour, lishvi means to pour, shechra, beer. Typically they would drink date beer, which Rashi says was mitzuyin by teilaim, very often infested with insects. So again, technically the beer itself is permissible with its insects. It's one package deal. It's like part of the water, part of the drink. But don't pour it out. They would pour it through tzviyais, little splinters of, like a little strainer, splinters of wood, into your glass. Don't do it at night when you can't see. And then there's a concern. Sorry. Don't do it at night. So don't pour it through the, you know, this splinter, you know, water splinters, to strain out your beer. Don't do it when it's dark at night, Burta. Dilma, because there's a concern that what? Parish, perhaps this insect will leave the liquid, le'el mitzvyasa, and sort of land on top of the splinter, on top of the strainer. And, as Rashi says, we'll take a little stroll around there, and then it will drop back into the glass on bottom. That's a problem, because it's separated from its surrounding liquid. It now assumed its own independence, its own identity. If one drinks it now, when it falls back into the cup on bottom, has transgressed mishum on account of the pasuk, it's no longer regarded as that kosher water creature, which is part and parcel of its surrounding water, body of water, which makes it kosher. No, it separated, it crawled, it slithered on dry surface, on the strainer. It is now labeled as sheretz, a creature, hasheretz, who crawled al ha'aretz. It's reclassified, Rashi says, as sheretz, or as an earthworm, as an earth insect, and it's usher. So yeah, if you drink it straight out of the grape, but if it got strained and separated, it assumes its own identity, it is relabeled as Asher HaTzaretz. Ihachi says, if that's the case, if you're concerned about leaving the water, but Mananami, so even if you drink it straight out of the container, the original container, you never know, maybe this particular insect had crawled up the wall, you know, the inside of the container, above the liquid level, above the water level, on dry, warm material, in which case, once again, it's relabeled as a Asher HaTzaretz and should be Asher. Even if it's still inside the original container, Dilma, there's a concern, Dilma Parashat Daf, and Dilma, perhaps it left the water, left the liquid, left the beer, crawled on the wall, the Daf, from the wall of the Man, the wall of the Kli, and then it slipped back into the beer below. So you're drinking something which already assumed the new status of Asher HaTzaretz. Well, says the Gemara, that wouldn't be a concern, because even if it did so, even if it traveled up the wall, beyond the liquid, awesome, over there, it's within its habitat, within its environment. Rashi says, we ignore the fact that it actually left the water. It's as though it never left the water. It's within the water entity. And since this is where it was formed, this is where it was created, it still is classified as a water creature, which, if found within a container where it was developed, it need not have kosher signs. So as the Gemara, how do you know this? This is already seems like a stretch. Even if it's left the water, as long as it's within the container, who's to say it? This is correct. The Sanhedrin of Brisa, which supports it. Menayin l'rabbis b'yir shichan amaretz. How do we know to include, to allow cisterns of all types and shapes? Shesheicha v'sheise mehen v'ninim leken. Bend down, drink straight out of the, without concerns, without hesitation. Tamaloyma, with the bugs, with everything. Tamaloyma toyich l'mekol shabamayim. Go ahead. Drink. And this is really linked to yesterday's daf, where the word teichlu, it was an extra word, an extra expression to tell us that in fact this still body of water in the voyeur is okay with its content, with its creatures. Okay, so that's the bryce. The question is, what about the concern of separation? Malechush, why not be concerned? Dilma parish ladafna, perhaps the worm separated from the liquid, climbed up the wall, vadanafal, and then fell back in. Ella, rather, you have to say, hanuravise. It's because this is still its environment. Hachinam, here as well, with the date beer. Don't be concerned if it's still in its original container. Hanuravise. Amadiraf, chizdarafun. Tanin Masayalach. Have another brisa, which actually supports your point that as long as the insect is still in the container, it's okay, as long as it didn't get separated and strained out. Kol Asheret Asheret El Aretz. This pasuk adds, L'rabois includes even the avchushin, some sort of little fleas that are found amongst the wine, shesinanon, which he strained, that becomes asr, tama de sinanon. It's only because it went through a straining process which disengages from its natural habitat. Haloi sinanon, but otherwise he hadn't done that. Shari, it's okay. As long as it's still within its habitat, we're not concerned about the fact that it climbed up the wall, it's okay. Amar Shmuel. Kishus, Shislia. So you have a gourd, a squash that's still connected to the ground, and it developed some sort of insects. Viavia. Viavia means it's still connected to the ground, still growing. We turn down the base. Asura. Anything within it. Any sheretz is called sheretz ha'aretz. Asura, so you can't eat it. Mishum ha'sheretz ha'sheretz ha'aretz, even though it's within a fruit, within a vegetable. Rashi says, since the worm is crawling within the vegetable, which is connected to the ground, it is considered as though that worm is crawling on the ground. Hence, it is classified as sheretz ha-sheretz ha-la-oretz. However, says Rashi, suppose the squash was insect-free while on the ground. Then it was picked off the ground, and then it developed some internal insects. Again, it didn't import it from the outside, without still be sheretz ha-la-oretz. It self-developed some worms from the inside. And of course, according to today's science, we know nothing, no fruit, no vegetable would actually generate living insects. It was triggered by some sort of egg that was laid microscopically by some fly or something, right? Inserted into the material, into the flesh of the vegetable, and then it forms into some sort of snail, etc. Okay, that's also fine. It wasn't an imported insect. It was imported as an egg. That's not an insect. That's the actual insect was developed, was created inside the fruit, the vegetable, once picked off the ground. That is not called sheretz ha-sheretz ha-la-oretz, and that would be okay. So technically, you can actually eat fruits and vegetables with their insects. Provide, it's not so practical, because A, you have to be clear that that insect did not come from the outside, didn't bore its way into the... And number two, it never left. So yeah, if it's embedded inside the banana, you just eat the banana, it's okay. And, as Shmuel teaches us, provided the worm wasn't there while the banana was still on the tree. Because if so, it's called sheretz ha-sheretz ha-la-oretz. Later Masayeli, perhaps we can support Shmuel's halacha from the following brisa. What is Shmuel's halacha? He draws a line. He draws a distinction between a sheretz which developed in the vegetable while still on the ground, that's called sheretz ha-la-oretz, versus can only happen later once picked off the ground, which would be okay. The Tanya Chada, we have a seeming contradiction between one brisa which says ala-oretz, sheretz which is ala-oretz, you should not eat. Loitzi, as opposed to fleas that you find inside the beans and the lentils, those are okay. Loitzi hazizin, certain kind of fleas, shebadoshim in the lentils, vashayitushim, a different type of fly, shebeklesim in a certain type of bean, v'teila, shebetzmarim, and some worm that are found into the growing in the dates, v'shebegegris, or on the dried figs, those are okay, because they were formed inside. They were created inside this fruit or vegetable. Tanya, that we have yet another brisa, which seems to say just the opposite. Kol asheretz, asheretz el aretz. What is learned from koil, which is inclusive? Even fruit flies, vegetable worms. L'rabeis telas, shebikari zeisim. To include the worms inside the olives, shebikari gefanim, and the vines and the grapes, which are considered asheretz el aretz. Now what's going on? My love, let's assume individu epeira. Both brises are referring to insects that were found inside the actual fruit or vegetable. Not on the tree, in the actual fruit. So I'd explain this discrepancy. One brisa says it's okay, one brisa says it's not okay. It must be that the determinant is as per Shmuel. Whether it happened while still on the ground, that's a la'aretz. Or whether it only happened off the ground, that's not a la'aretz. That's okay. First, the second brisa, which renders it aser, speaking with the vegetable, was still attached to the ground when it happened. The first brisa, which allows these insects, is speaking that it happened after it had been picked off the ground, as per Shmuel's distinction. Loi, you don't have to say that. Perhaps both brisas are speaking while on the ground, like Kasha. And the answer would be, if the insect was discovered in the fruit, in the produce, then that's okay, despite the fact that it happened on the ground, not like Shmuel. Whereas the second brisa is speaking that the insect happened in the tree. That's where you found it. Of course, that's us. That's Allah Oretz. Habilanu Gufa. Deikanami, you could even prove it from the wording of the Brisa, that the second Brisa is speaking the insect was in the tree, the tani tala should be kare, in the ikar, in the primary, in the tree of the zeis, not in the zeis itself, in the fruit. There should be kare from the actual vine. Shmami, no, that proves our point. So at the end of the day, we don't really have. We thought we would have a raya from this apparent contradiction, which could only be resolved in a manner which is consistent with Shmuel's distinction. Ultimately, we sort of did away with that raya. But at the end of the day, many Rishonim, including the Rambam, do paskin like Shmuel, that a fruit insect, a vegetable worm, would only be mutter if it formed inside that vegetable post-picking. But if it happened while still growing, it would be usher. That's pretty hard to discern, so it's not such a practical, thing to, adopt. But Rav Yosef, so once we establish that an insect which developed inside a fruit, inside a vegetable, and according to Shmuel, provided it's off the ground, would be okay for consumption. It sort of is considered as part of the surrounding environment. It's just part of the vegetable, part of the fruit. It's not Shoretel Oretz. It's disconnected from the Oretz. It's its own habitat. I mean, that's okay. It's part of the fruit. So that being said, Boy Rav Yosef, I have a question. Pirusha umeso. And again, it's only while still in the fruit, but let's say it left the fruit and started crawling on the ground. That's certainly us are going forward. It's called Sheretel Sheretel Oretz. What happened if it never really crawled? It never activated its crawling, abilities. It flew out of the fruit and landed on the ground, boom, and died on the spot. Pirsha left, Umesa died as it landed. Mau. What's the halacha now? Is it called Sheret Haaretz? Or perhaps since it never actually crawled, it can't be labeled as a Sheret. Rashi says the term Sheretz. Sheretz hainu roiche shunanea. It crawled, it slithers, it moves. Mao, what's the halacha? Miktsasa mao. Let's assume in the first case it would be considered a sheretz al oretz. But if it never landed entirely on the floor, just part of it landed, boom, and it died on the spot. So it never even got the chance. Lavira ulamao. What if it never even landed on the ground? He saw it falling out of the fruit and he popped it midair. He eats it on the spot. It never landed on the ground. Rashi explains. Assuming that in the first case, where it landed on the ground and it died, it would be mutter, because it can't really crawl, it's dead. But in this case, it was fully alive in the air, it could have landed and crawled. What's the halacha here? Mahu? Take in all these cases, we leave it unresolved. But Rav Ashi, anu shayla, legag tmara mahu? What if the worm crawled out of the date where it was hatched, right? It was mutter, but then it left the date and started crawling on the top, on the outside, on the external surface of the tamara. No, it's still considered within the fruit environment. Or do we say, once it sort of crawled on top, it left its habitat and it's like crawling on the ground? Legag tamara mao. Legag arinasa mao. What if it's still within the date, but it left its the seed where it developed and the pit, and it's crawling on the pit now? Suppose it crawls out of one date into the next date. They were sitting side by side and it crawls from one to the other. So it never really entered the greater world environment. It wasn't exposed to the air or whatever, but it left its mother date and went into the next date. Shall we say it's considered like a brand new surface and it's like Sheretz HaSheretz El Oretz? Or do we say, no, it's still within a fruit? So it never left the fruit habitat, and it's still considered mutter. Tomorrow, moment. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Om Rav Sheshes. Pray Dravidi. What about Kukiyani? So Rashi learns, these are worms that are found inside an animal, inside the liver, inside the lungs of an animal. Asiri, they're forbidden. My time of why? You see, again, if they would have developed within the animal itself, so they were inserted as eggs, Rebelsky, that's how I used to point out that when the Gemara allows, insects that developed in fish, and we're going to see later, They weren't there mishashis and maybe rashis. Hashem didn't create fish with worms inside. Of course they came from the outside, but they were deposited in egg form. Microscopic eggs. You couldn't. So, in terms of the live format, the creature itself, that happened inside the fish, or inside the animals we're going to see. That's why it's mutter. You may have heard about the whole controversy with the salmon, the wild salmon, which was discovered to have very commonly had insects and worms. There was a whole to-do about it, and basically, without going into all the details, the point was that, yeah, if the insect developed solely inside the salmon, then it would be okay, as we're going to see later. Clearly, the kavri shari, we're going to see if the worm inside the fish is okay, provided it didn't import it from the outside. So the question here was, how did it get into the salmon? And upon extensive investigation, they turned out that salmon itself didn't really develop within it. It came from the whole food cycle, whole food chain. Basically, a different fish swallows this microscopic whatever, and then it develops into a worm within it, and then that serves as a feeder to the salmon, who eats that fish with the worm inside it already. Oh, so that was more or less the configuration. So basically, the question is, how large was that initial ingest? How big was that worm when it was ingested the first time? Was it just a microscopic, sort of invisible entity, which the Torah doesn't reckon with, right? We treat it as though it non-existent at that point. Only developed within the fish. And the second point is, provided that's okay, but who's to say that the salmon who now ingests this other fish with that worm already developed within it, who said that worm is considered having been formed as though it was formed within the salmon? Because he seems to be like importing. It's like he's importing a worm. And we explained before, importation is austral. If he got it from somewhere else, that's a very, from the outside. That's called sheretz, sheretz el aretz. It had to have formed completely within this fish. But the thing is that, it didn't form within the salmon, but it did form, it did develop within that smaller fish. And at that point, it's okay because, and it was self-contained within that environment. So now when the salmon swallows that fish, do we say it's just a clean transfer? It was always within a fish, never left the fish to get into the salmon. Or do we say no? Now that it started to walk around the salmon, but really came from a different fish that was swallowed by the salmon. So perhaps that's called sheretz el aretz. It's not considered self-developed in the salmon. So just a little bit of a sketch of the discussion of the issues at hand regarding those fish. Obviously, it's preferred to use fish that have no issue of infestation, but now that we see the Gemara, it makes it more relevant, more exciting to actually see where there's what these issues are, where they're based on, what the sources are. This is the Gemara. It's right here. Okay, so again, Kukiani Asiri, we have these worms embedded in the animal, in the liver, in the lung, as Rashi learns, they're also. Why? My time, Alma also. They were not self-generated. They came from the outside. They crawled in. Maskevler Ravashi, I have a question. Imi Alma also. If you say they came from the outside, it wouldn't be sitting in the lungs. It wouldn't be sitting in the liver. It was sitting in the digestive system of the animal, right? Together with all the other food. Imi Alma also. If in fact they came from the outside, the shtaku, they should be discovered derech beisarei within the digestive system. Igadam. In fact, there's another version of this halacha. Amar Rav Shisha, Breid Ravidi, that actually Kukiani are sharu. These worms are okay. My time, why? Minei gavli. Exactly as such, because they grew within the animal. They weren't imported from the outside, in which case they would be sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz. No. They were developed within this animal. That's not sheretz al-aretz, that's part of the animal. Amar Rav Ashi, to which Rav Asi responded, of course. I second that. Pshita, of course, di mama ka'asu. Because if, in fact, they came from the outside, they wouldn't be in the liver, they wouldn't be in the lungs, they would be in the digestive tract. The shtaka, they would be found derech beisarei with all the other waste. But here's a surprise. Behilchasa, what's the halacha? Kukiyani are asir, they're forbidden. My time, you know why? I'll tell you how it happens. Meinam nayim. What happens is the animal, while he's sleeping, he gets visitors. Vaidli buusi. These snails, these insects, crawling through his nostrils. Hence, they're found in these unlikely places. They crawl straight into the, you know, into the cana, into the trachea, into the liver, into the lungs. So that explains why, explains its location. And in fact, they're considered to have been imported from the outside, in which case they're considered sheretz al eretz neros. Continues the Gemara. Darni, what are darni? These are these skin worms. Rashi learns teiloim, these insects, these worms, and mitzoyim are found bein ur lebasa, between the outer skin and the flesh. So when they flay the animal, they find these little skins, they find it by animal, find by fish. So it depends. The bisra asiri, if they're in basar, meaning found them in the animal, a behema, it's asir. Why? We'll see in a minute. The kavri shari, in the fish, they're okay. Tosis points out, by the way, he says, based on this upcoming Gemara, that makes this distinction between meat worms and fish worms, only by fish is it okay. Like, you know, the salmon, if in fact the worm had developed totally inside the fish, that's okay, but by a behemoth, it would be asr. So he says, based on this Gemara, you have to learn the Gemara, the previous Gemara, differently. A kukiyani, which according to at least one version is okay, he says that has to be talking about within fish, because within a behemoth would be asr regardless. That's an observation that Tosis makes right here. So again, darni, these worms, the bisra asiri, in an animal, they're asr. So after shchita, you find it, they're asr. The kavri, but in the fish, they're shari and they're okay. Amalei, Ravina la ime. In fact, Ravina told his mother, next time you serve me fish, slip in the snails. Just don't tell me about it. Ablali, slip them in. Vana eich, I'll eat them. Gesundheit. Some extra protein. Amalei, Rav Mishai, Shir, Breda, Rav Achla, Ravina. He has a question. What's the difference? If these worms were internally developed, that's what makes them mutter, because they're not sure it's ala uritz. What's the difference if they're in fish or they're in animals? Maishna, Madasanya. Why the ones in the fish better than the ones in the animals? Why? How do you explain it? Why is it different than the Braisa, which says that by the animals it's Asr? That's Nevlasim Tishaketsu. We learn from this Pasuk. The rabbi says, Darnim Shebehema, Shebehema. Even the Dranim, these worms, found the Behema are Asr. So why is the fish different? Amalis, he says, let me explain to you. There's a huge difference, very deep difference. How do you compare the two things? How do you compare fish to animals? You see, a behema needs to undergo shechita to be edible. Not so a fish. Right? A fish, you just gather it out of the water. The more calls it basifa, take it out of the water. It's it. It's okay. That's it. It's mutter. Based on the fact that it has a lesser degree of vitality, whatever. But the bottom line is, a behema needs shechita. And these worms never had shechita. These worms that developed inside a behemoth were technically part of its live flesh. I mean, halachically, it's part of the flesh of the animal. So really, it's labeled as Eiver Menachai. It's part of the live animal, which can theoretically become mutter if it experiences shechita, but it never experienced shechita, because only the animal itself had shechita, not the worms. So they stay asur. They're Eiver Menachai. But a fish never needs shechita. You see, Eiver Menachai is the flip side of shechita, something which ultimately needs shechita, so prior to shechita is Eiver Menachai. Such as the animal before shechita, but that gets settled through the shechita. But the worms never get settled through the shechita. There is no shechita on the worms, as opposed to fish, which never needs shechita, and therefore there's no concept of eivim nachai by fish. So just as the fish could be eaten without shechita, so could the worms within the fish, provided they were fully developed and created within the fish. That's his answer. Hachi yashta behema by behema b'shechita u'demishtaya. It's permitted through the act of shechita. That works for the behema b'hani, but these worms, which Rashi says, Yeshlim chius la'atzman, they have their own vitality, their own life. even though they're feeding off the animal, they're considered their own separate, you know, beings. Mani, and these would be like a mahani lushchita sin shchita. Doesn't really have an effect on these. Doesn't pertain to these snails. B'yisrayu kaiman, they remain osur, they remain in their status. Aval dogan, but by fish, which doesn't need shchita to begin with, basifa ba'alma mishtari, becomes muta through just gathering extraction from the water, killing it. Vani, and these snails are within the fish, kika gavlin, since they kika gavlin, their development, their growth, beteruka gavlin, it was in a permissible environment, i.e. within the fish, so it stays muter, no reason why to be else. Okay, concludes the Gemara with a brisa on the Psukim, that give us a list of some creatures which are asur to Rabban Hoylech al Gochan, the one that slithers on his belly. Who's that? That's our good old friend, the snake, who lost his legs, right? Hoylech al Gochan is a nachash, that refers to a snake. What's the kol, koylech al Gochan? What's the kol coming to add? The rabbi says shulshul, to address the shulshul, some sort of long earthworm, which is similar to a snake in a way. That's Hademel Shulshul, something was similar to that as well. Any earthworm is Asr. The pasuk continues, Al Arba, on four. Who's the one that goes on four? Is that Akra, that's going on the scorpion? What's V'chol Hoylech Al Arba? What's the call? Rabbi Sachi pushes. It's coming to add the beetle. Yes, Kol Hademel pushes, and something which is similar to that as well. Until we get to Atkol Marbe Raglaim, many legs. Oh, what's the many-legged, multiple-legged creature? Zanadol, that's the centipede, known for its many legs. What's Atkol? What's the Kol coming to add? Rabbi Sadoima, Sadoima Ladoima, something which is similar to the Nadol, and something which is similar to that. So basically, all these creatures, these slithering entities, are us. Speaking of creatures, you know, there's a famous story of Rav Moshe Feinstein Atzal, just to highlight the greatness of a great man, that even the creatures knew to keep away from him. There's a Medrash. Medrash says, it's based on a pasuk in Mishlei, "Bertzois Hashem Darkeish." Right? When a person is on a high level, Hashem wills him, Hashem likes him, satisfied with him. Gam oivav, even his enemies, Yashlim imoy, Hashem will arrange for even his enemies to cooperate with him, to side with him, to make peace with him. And the Medrash says this applies to fleas, mosquitoes, and all kinds of creatures that know to keep away from a tzaddik. There was a famous story of Moshe Feinstein out in the mountains in the summer. He was hosting a Talmud, who I later found out to be Rav Shimon Eider, big Talmud Chacham, Chaber Sparim, who came to visit him. And the Rebbetzin served them, brought out some drinks, a glass for Rav Moshe, a glass for the guest. And the place was full of fleas at the time, just the way it was. And after a little while, Rav Moshe turned to his guest and says, why aren't you making a bracha, have a drink? So Rav Shimon says, he points to his glass, he showed Rav Moshe, it's full of little fleas, hard to get around them. So Rav Moshe was surprised. He says, look, he's looking at his... He went to check his glass, and lo and behold, there's not a single flea inside, just pure juice or whatever. And he's surprised, and he's like comparing, not understanding what's going on, why they're there, not here. And we know the answer. B'ritzeis Hashem Darkiish Gam Oivav Yashlev Imoy. This story was later of Shimon Eider, the person himself who experienced the story. There was another story of Rav Moshe, which is brought in the Rav Moshe Sefer, the Rav Moshe book. He was sitting with Talmidim outside, and it was at night, and a mosquito came and landed on Tzadok Rav Moshe's forehead. Rav Moshe didn't pay attention, didn't feel him, and the mosquito was walking around, didn't bite him. After a while, he left. Unbelievable. Gam oivav yashli mimoy. Okay, let's include the parak tani of Abraisa, Rabbi Yosi ben Dur Maskus Oimer, the famous Lev Yosin that we all know of, that we're waiting for, Meher B'Yameinu, is Dog Toiru. He happens to be a fish, and he's a kosher fish. Now, of course, he's kosher, otherwise, why would Hashem feed it to the tzaddikim? But the point of the Gemara is to explain that he really is a fish. rather than just, you know, another type of creature. He's a fish and a kosher fish. Shenemar, we have a pasuk in Iyov describing this massive creature. Gava afike meginim tachtav chadudei chores. What does this mean? Afike meginim, that's the mugging, that's the armor, right? That's the scales on his body. Elo kaskasim shaboy, those are the scales. And tachta, beneath him, we have a chadudei chores, the sharp, you know, like shards. That's the, those are the fins. Elo snapirin, which he uses to swim around. Shapareach bahen. Okay, me remenu, amen. So in a nutshell, we have the alocha of insects that are sheretel eretz, which are asur. But otherwise, if they're found in, and they were developed and created and stayed within their natural habitat, be it contained water in a kli or in a bur, or in a fruit, which according to Shmuel had already had been detached from the ground, or within a fish. In all these cases, it's just part and parcel of its surrounding environment, and it can be eaten together with the fruit, with the vegetable, with the fish, and drunk along with the water. All the best to you, and atzlacha.